Blog Talk Radio.
I live life sucker free. That's why the niggas you be with talk down like they don't fuck with me. I get money realistically, and the homies show me love. Groupies wanna lead a club with me. Ain't
what's up, what's up, what's up? Good evening, good evening. I know it's been a minute. Been out of town for a week. All last week, actually, I was out of the country in England. Spent the day in Dublin, Ireland as well. So, anyway, it's good to be back in the saddle. Excuse me, I'm just a little discombobulated here. But before I mess up some more, I'm Scott Burks. This is the Clown Hour. And you can find my sports blog, The Clown Times, on the web at www.theclowntimes.net. That's clown spelled with a K, by the way. And you may find me on Facebook, just cutting up. I've been kind of a rare form all week. So instead of ruining it for y'all, let me just give you the site. Just go to Facebook. In the upper left-hand search window, in the upper left-hand corner of the page, type in the Clown Times, the Clown Square with K, and you'll be there. So a lot's been going on since I was on my European excursion, if you will. Mainly, the last 2 weeks of the regular season, the NFL season, bowl season going on in college football, the NBA, just now getting to the real swing of things after Christmas. But you have two figures cracking on other sports figures, namely George Karl and Terry Bradshaw. And we'll get to that in a moment with my man. Y'all know him from Sleazy Radio on Blog Talk Radio every Tuesday night, sometimes Wednesdays, and the Yard/HBCU Sports Blog. My man Dwayne Nash is back. G, what's up?
Scott, what's going on?
You tell me, brother. I'm fair for a square, man. I'm getting old, getting more gray hairs and beard. You know, other than that, God is good.
Yes, he is. And to all the listeners, happy holidays, happy Kwanzaa, happy Hanukkah, Ujamaa to everyone, you know.
Right on.
Go ahead and support your small businesses. Let's do it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, we started there with our son last night, so you know, trying to bring him up in the Kwanzaa, or as they say, the Deep South Kwanzaa. just bringing him up in that. That is all good. So I noticed the holidays is the time of good tidings, joy, love to all mankind, blah, 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 blah. Unfortunately, there's been a lot of hate going on. Let's start with George Karl. What he's been saying about Phil Anthony. Yeah, I know, right? Kenyon Martin. What's his name? Gerald Smith. And now you start on Damian Lillard. But let's start with his former players in Denver. So basically, he basically called, like saying that Kenyon Martin, Carmelo Anthony, they're basically saying, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't have the exact quotes out in front of me, saying that, you know, he felt bad for those cats because they being Carmelo and Kenyon, did not have any fathers in their lives to show them how to be men with all that money and how to act. Basically, he's saying that those two cats didn't know how to act because they didn't have a dad in their lives, which I thought was totally stereotypical and lazy on George Karl's part, which I was shocked that he went there. But I guess people, i.e. players and general managers who knew him well, really aren't that surprised that he went and threw shade at those two cats. And to follow that up with what he said about Damian Lillard, just pretty much putting all the blame on him for Portland's slow start, and that caused Damian Lillard to have to respond, and his coach Terry Stotts in Portland to respond. And the right thing about that is Terry Stotts considers George Karl a mentor of his, which I'm sure that came as quite a shock to the Terry Stotts. So basically, all this shit going on with Karl's called is throwing shade when there's, all to sell a book, his book called Furious George. About 40 years surviving the NBA Divas, clueless GMs, support shot selection. Yeah, I probably threw in a plug for him by mistake. But why do this? Why would George Karl do this at this point of his life?
Oh, I'm sorry about that, Scott. You've already said it. It's to plug his book. It's just weird to me that he decided. Well, it's not weird at all. Let's just start from the beginning. There's no way in the world you could have told me that George Carl has gone this far, or even between when he was with Seattle up until the time in which
right.
he was in Denver, and not coach a player who ain't have a father in their household. With that
yeah.
said, it will probably be juicier now for him to call out the names of Kenyon Martin, J.R. Smith, and Carmelo Anthony, because people now will recognize those names more than they probably would. And not to say that these guys don't have fathers in their homes. I'm just calling these guys
sure.
out because they were stars on his team during that time period. But calling out the likes of a Nate McMillan, a Derek Hayton, who is by far one of the greatest
right.
defensive guards of all time, and Sean Kemp, who probably won't never be a Hall of Famer, but one of the most athletic power forwards we've ever seen. So it's a lot
yeah,
easier for him, the guys that have played with him during his last stint. I should say it's easier for him to call out guys that people care about, because nobody
yeah.
probably cared about Ty Lawson. You know, not a lot of people are big fans of Boogie Cousins. So why work right and talk about them when it's easy to talk about, you know, the golden boy, Carmelo Anthony? I call him that because, of course, he does have the most Olympic gold medals in USA basketball history. But then you got
right.
J.R. Smith, who's fresh off a title, and I'm glad that he may be somewhere hurt and with a shirt on. Finally, and Kenyon Martin, I guess there are people who still remember Kenyon, but of course I remember Kenyon. I love this
yeah.
style of play. So it's easier to call those guys out because it's easily identifiable for potential readers. It's just wrong
yeah.
for him to do so.
Right.
Kenny Najesmith said it best. A lot of times you have head coaches that are basically father figures to their players. And a lot of times there are conversations
right.
that are had between player and coach that you would expect not to get out. And for this
right.
to happen, and especially when you're destroying when you're insulting the family dynamics in which these players have come from, that's just dirty. I mean, you can criticize the player all day, and there have been criticisms that he's brought up about some of these players as well, which we may or may not talk about later, which is justified.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time,
right.
still not all their fault. The
right.
thing is, when you start talking about, you know, when you start talking about off the court stuff, and you know, you say, because like I was listening to an excerpt from the book earlier. When he said he was so tired of hearing about Carmelo, he just wanted to throw his hands up. That bad, trade him. You didn't draft him.
Yeah.
Trade him. You know, if all of the basketball stuff was bad, trade him. But, you know, that's if we go into the basketball aspect of it, I'll talk about that too. But, you know, don't sit here and belittle these guys because they didn't have a father. And you don't necessarily need to have a father in your household in order to be successful. You just need someone in your life. If you want to talk about the money thing, talk about Kurt Schilling. How about that? I guarantee you it's a possibility
mm-hmm.
that Kurt Schilling had a daddy in his life. Well, Bernie Kosar didn't have a daddy. He broke too. Matter of fact, he broke.
Yeah.
These guys that you're talking
yeah.
about are broke. Now, you want to talk about their financial situations? How dare you, George Carl? And I respected you and actually wanted you to come here to D.C. to coach my John Wall and the Wizards. With that said, man, it's just, there's no way. There's no way.
No.
Dude,
what I did like about Kenyon Martin, of course, you know, I live in Cincinnati. You know, Kenyon Martin's name is still, like, legendary here for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a stud at UC and, you know, playing for those Bob Huggins teams in the late 90s, early 2000s, just money. Money. But what I did like was that, you know, Martin – took advantage of the platform that they had because, you know, Carmelo is still a pro and he has to be politically correct, right? as J.R. Smith, you know, J.R. Smith just comment on Twitter, responded on Twitter, just like, and I'm paraphrasing, like, he's still trying to be relevant. That's a mess. Shaking my head.
Mm-hmm.
But Martin went in on him. He went on him on Undisputed on Fox Sports 1. He went on him on ESPN's The Jump. And mm-hmm. I got some quotes here for what Martin said about it, and I'm going to keep it short. Quote, my feelings for George Karl is that he's the person he is. He's showing everybody who he is, the person I dealt with for 6.5 years in Denver. I saw it firsthand every day, him coming in the locker room, not speaking to people, him talking down to other people, him treating people in the organization like crap. I saw it year in and year out. Now the whole world is going to see it. And now you have other players, like the aforementioned Ty Lawson and several other players, former players. And one name that stuck out with me, actually two, I'm going to say the first one, Andre mm-hmm. Iguodala. Andre
yes.
Iguodala is one of the most mild-mannered, a pro's pro. No one expects
mm-hmm.
him to be a malcontent. He's not known as a malcontent. He didn't have any flattering things to say about George Karl. And another dude, and many people probably forgot about the story. When George Karl coached in Milwaukee, you know, those great Milwaukee teams that had Ray
mm-hmm.
Allen, Sam Cassell, and
yeah.
Big Dog, Glenn Robinson. Now,
yeah.
not many people remember that Ray Allen. Now, Ray Allen is one of the most, again, a lot like Iguodala, not more so, more soft, not soft-spoken, but laid-back, you know, dignified, but pros, a true pros pro. Very mild-mannered brother. He actually almost went, word on the street was, and I think this is verified this from a source, he almost went at George Karl. I mean, went at him physically. That's how mad he made Ray Allen. So, I mean, look, George Allen, sorry, I'm of your old Redskins past here, but George
Oh,
Karl,
yes, sir. It broke all that positive vibes right now, please. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, you need to but George Karl, he's a great offensive coach. He's a hell
yes.
of an offensive mind. He had those teams, I mean, hell, like Milwaukee, Denver, Seattle, they were humming offensively. He just never cared much about defense.
That's
okay,
not
so
true,
let's
Scott. That's not
uh-huh.
true, Scott. While in Seattle, those Seattle teams had some of the best defensive players in the league, and they had some of the best defensive teams in the league at that time. Those Seattle
That's
teams
true.
Back
That's
in
true.
The early 90s, you know, you had Gary Payton, you had Sean Kemp, and you had Nick McMillan, who were averaging well over a steal and a half a game. So those
oh, yeah.
guys were great defensively. That's the one thing that is forgotten about those teams, how great defensively they were. And the reason why so, of course, is their inept ability to advance in the playoffs. You know, you
right.
keep getting knocked out first round, second round. People tend to forget how great defensively you were. And these are teams that won, like, 55, 60, 62 games a year. So it was early
Denver.
On. Yeah, in Seattle,
yeah,
when they
the
played defense.
Remember the out in the first round? Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes. But you start talking about Milwaukee and Denver. You're right. Somehow, some way,
yeah.
Either he forgot how to coach defense or
– he didn't care.
Well, you would hope not, right? Or maybe there was something – my thing is this. If you feel as though
okay.
that your players are playing defense, what's the one thing that basketball players value the most? Playing time. Well, outside of money.
Right.
Playing time. You know, because that's how you get their money. You feel
right.
as though they're not playing the way that you want them to play, bench them. Trade them. Get them out of there. If they're not doing what you need them to do, get them out of there. But no, you love the fact that they were playing great offense, so you kept them around. You know, you talk about his time in Denver. All those teams he had in Denver – offensively, in terms of points per game, they all average in the top 10. None lower than 8.
That's the scoreboard. Right.
Yeah. But defensively, they were never higher than 16th. Well, actually, they were never higher than 15th, which is the halfway point in the 30-team league. Matter of fact, there was one year when they were first overall in points scored per game, but 29th out of 30th in points allowed per game. That can't be all. I mean, yes, it is the players, but
right.
If it was really a problem, get rid of them. They're assets. Trade them.
Wow. You know what? I mean, it's just so disappointing because I have a lot of respect for George Karl. You know,
yeah, so do I.
Karl would, I'm a child of the late 90s. I mean, I'm sorry, the late 80s and throughout the whole 90s. And I remember those great Seattle teams. I remember those very good Denver and damn near great Milwaukee team. I mean, just they ran into like a buzzsaw in the Indiana Pacers in every playoffs. But I don't respect – I mean, that's – how can I say this directly? That's a bitch move. I mean,
yes,
you don't go after guys well after they play for you just to sell books. You just don't do it. That's chicken bleep. And I'm not cool with that. I don't respect that as a man. I wouldn't respect any cat who does that. And I don't blame Martin for going after him. I mean, the only thing that kept Martin from cussing him out is that he was on TV. So good for Martin, good for Kenyon for sticking up for his former teammates and for himself, really. And I saw somewhere that George Karl like actually backtracked what he said. He was on Mike and Mike earlier today, and he was first of all, which I found hilarious. He said he was surprised by the backlash of the book. Really?
Oh, wow. Really? Really? You were really surprised by the backlash of the book. You were really surprised by the backlash of the book. When you come after a player's family moral fiber and question that, and you're surprised that was attacked. You can attack a player all day on how well they played or how well they didn't play on the floor. Because, of course, we had the visual proof of that. But at the same time, you're the coach. You're allowed them to play that way. You don't want a player to play that way, send them on, bench them or trade them. Is that easy?
Right. And Kenyon said it himself. If he would have gone after Kenyon's basketball acumen or whatever, that's one thing. I don't think Kenyon said it himself that he wouldn't have gotten so pissed off about that because that's on the court. I mean, he's a great professional. He would have taken that. But to bring his – I mean, to bring his upbringing into it, really?
No.
And, you know, that's going after his mom because his mom his mom and his dad. And he turned out to be great. And Carmelo turned out to be great. And he also said about J.R. Smith, you know, J.R. Smith had two parents, you know, in his life. He said that he being George Karl, said that J.R. Smith's dad was too involved. Which is it?
Exactly.
Which is it? Come on.
Exactly.
And you're talking about a George Karl who
hired his son to be an assistant to coach alongside him. So you know you have a little nepotism there. You know I don't know if I don't know. It's just insane. Pick a side, dude. Either having a daddy is good, or having a daddy is not good. Well, not having a daddy is not good. Well, having a daddy is good. You can't, George Karl, we need to go ahead and just start steamrolling his books like they used to steamroll old hip-hop albums back in the day when, you know, they felt as though they were too graphic. Just go ahead and put them out in the streets of Denver, all the cities he coached in, Seattle, Denver, Milwaukee, and just steamroll and have a big bonfire or something. Guys,
dude. Hey. I got one more thing to say about Karl. He said that later on Mike and Mike, when he said this in the context when he was apologizing to what he said about Kenyon. He started off by saying that he had the kind of a tumultuous relationship with his son because, in his words, he was a basketball coach and a part-time father. You know, and so I think Kenyon alluded to that in his tweets. Saying that, you know, he's seen how he was George Karl was to his son. Like, what's his excuse? What's your excuse? What's your
excuse?
And Karl followed up by saying that he's sorry for the reaction because he knows Kenyon. He said one thing he knows about Kenyon Martin is that he's a good father. So, I mean, hell, he apologized, but I mean, the damage is done. What's done is done. You know what I'm saying? You can't get that horse back of the barn. So shame on George Call. And good for, like, Carmelo Anthony just staying above the fray. I know he's a current player, but he stayed above the fray, as did J.R. Smith. And Keon Martin went off on him. Good for him. And so did Damian Lillard, you know. Damian didn't have much to say. He just, like, saying, like, he was like, what? It was like Terry Stotts that went after George Karl the most, you know, just saying what he had to say in order to, you know, defend his own player. So,
yeah,
it's one of those things where you just kind of shake your head and just wondering what the hell was George Karl thinking, just all in the name of selling books. But I'll tell you what, if he had any inkling of getting back into basketball, that ship has sailed.
It's done.
It's over.
It's done.
I mean, there's no way in the world any organization would bring that guy in any capacity. No way, no bleeping how.
I will say this, though.
So,
I will say this.
Yep.
If there was ever a chance, it was right after he left Sacramento. And for no one to take
right.
a chance on you, after you and your battles with the malcontent of Boobie Cousins, and no one would take a look
yeah.
at you, your career was already done back then. Now it's
right.
just, you just basically just lit it aflame. It's completely done now. So, you know, I feel bad that he had to go that route in an attempt to get money. This is a whole discussion of player-coach relationship with George Karl has just been completely destroyed. And you know, I hope he's able to rectify these situations with these guys within the near future. I really do.
Well, I mean, Joe's call, he made his bed, has to lie his ass in it. And so
yeah.
he has to do something about that. But, again, as far as his any future in the NBA, he can kiss that shit goodbye. So he
yeah.
has to move on. So one more person needs to take several seats, Terry Bradshaw. It hurts me to say that as a big Steelers fan. I'm a big fan. I still am a fan of Terry Bradshaw. But he really disappointed me in what he said about my current coach, Mike Tomlin. And before I get into what he was said, in case people missed it, let me be the first to say I've gone after Terry Bradshaw, Mike Tomlin, quite a bit. You see me on
yep.
Facebook.
Did you ask for him to be fired this year?
Yes, I did, and last year. Because I think, in my personal opinion, that his squad, my beloved squad, his teams that he's coached, still teams that he's coached, played down to the level of the competition. That bugged the hell out of me. It was Jacksonville and Tennessee last year, even though they won both of those games. We've been owned by Baltimore the last 2 to 3 seasons, especially last season when it was the worst Baltimore Ravens team, and you know, due to injuries and everything that I've seen in recent memory. We got
mm-hmm.
swept by those guys last year. We should have been swept by them this year. So
mm-hmm.
it just rankles me. It just and plus our defense can't stop a nosebleed at times. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Even though we're playing better now, the last 6 weeks, you know, doing this winning streak, but even I know, and our friend, our mutual friend, Lanice Robinson, I love you. You talked some good sense to me. and her being an Eagles fan, the envious Eagles fan that she is. But I know deep down that Mike Tomlin is one of the top 14, four coaches in the league, okay? It's like basically, it's in my order, it's Belichick from New England, Tomlin, Andy Reid in Kansas City, and John Harbaugh in Baltimore. Those are, in my opinion, the top four coaches in the league. But for Bradshaw to say, and when he went on Fox Sports 1, speak for himself with Jason Whitlock, last week, as a matter of fact, he said, quote, Tomlin wasn't a great coach at all. He's a nice coach. To me, I said it, he's really a great cheerleader guy. I don't know what he does. I don't think he's a great coach at all. His name never even pops up in my mind when we think about the great coach in the NFL. Huh? Really?
Never?
This is the same Tomlin. Even though I've calmed down on Tomlin, rather irrationally, okay, I might add, Tomlin has won over 100 games in 10 seasons. Only a few coaches have ever done that, okay? He's been to two Super Bowls, won one. He's wrapped up his fifth AFC North Division title in 10 years. And he's never had a losing season.
No.
And it's obvious that his players love him. And he looks like and he could easily pass for Omar Epps' younger brother, but that's not here nor there. But really? Shooting the guy? I mean, same with George Call. Why in the hell would Terry Bradshaw say something like that, especially when he's known not to be around Pittsburgh much these days? Why would he say those things?
You know what? My guess is that and this is part of the reason why I don't necessarily watch Fox Sports 1 personally. I watch their clips.
Okay.
I will say what I'm seeing of the clips have been rather have been fantastic, which kind of wants me to watch the show, but at the same time, I know a lot of the stuff that they do on their show with Jason Whitlock, with Colin Cowherd, a lot of the materials they talk about is supposed to be controversial to make people want to stop and listen, and it's a possibility they go ahead and try to pull their guests to do the exact same thing. With that said, it was just weird that it's not weird. If you're going to get somebody to tear down a player or a coach or a particular organization, it's better that it's done from within. You know, if it's done from the outside looking in, maybe not so much. But if it's done from a quote-unquote insider, even though, like you just said, Terry may not be there all the time, but he's still Hall of Famer, Pittsburgh Steelers, Super Bowl winning quarterback, Terry Bradshaw. So for him to tear down his own organization, people are going to be like, oh, really? What does Terry know that we don't know? But like you just said, he's not there. So how in the hell does he know?
He's hardly there.
Exactly. And to your point earlier, he's never had a losing season. Matter of fact, he's the only Steeler coach to say that. He's the only Steeler head coach to say that. He has the highest winning percentage of Steeler coaches. So for him to have that on his resume, and then you said, the most 100 wins within the shortest time period for Steeler coaches?
Yeah.
Which is a record?
Yeah, 10 seasons. Yeah.
Exactly. So you're talking about a guy, if that's a cheerleader, my God, Scott, I'll say like this, and for you to complain, I understand it's against the rival or whatever with the Baltimore Ravens, but the stuff that Terry Bradshaw is talking about and that you complain about, I like to call those first world problems, dude. Look at the problem in the shit show that I'm dealing with here in D.C. My God. Thankfully, if I can somehow get on my knees right now, I would. And thank God that this is the first time we've had back-to-back winning years, and God knows, but I can't remember.
That is very true.
You know, so to say that, oh, my God, we have trouble getting played down to the level of the competition, but we beat them. Oh, we can't beat our rivals, but we're winning divisions, and we average 10 wins a season. My God, I wish, Scott, I wish. But as I stated earlier, the words of Bradshaw are just completely insane. Once again, potential clickbait. And I feel bad that he was dragged into this. Terry don't know no better. I mean, he went to Louisiana Tech. Let me not talk about Louisiana Tech. Last time I was on their campus, beautiful campus.
I know.
And, you know, Hollywood Henderson said it best. If you asked Terry to spell cat, he couldn't do so if you gave him the C and the T, which is messed up.
Yeah.
Terry, I wish that you would have thought before you answered that question, because to say that this dude is a cheerleader, for him to have the accolades that he does with this organization, and what I like to call football royalty, as a matter of fact, for those that don't know, Pittsburgh was supposed to be America's team. They were supposed to have that moniker, but turned it down. So that's just another thing that Dallas sucks in life. They just go ahead and pick up hand-me-downs from another team.
Thank you. Thank you for verifying what I've been trying to tell Cowboys fans years. They don't know that part of history. We won four Super Bowls in 6 years. They didn't want the moniker. They're blue collar. They want to do things the right way. Of course, flashy Cowboys are super. So, okay, we'll take it. And, you know, and
of course.
Down to down to Jerry Jones, you know, trying to run headlines in Dallas. He wins headlines, but doesn't win games. Except for this season.
Exactly.
That's not a here nor there. Man. But
yeah.
Hey, speaking of Hollywood Henderson, I love Tomlin's clapback to Bradshaw. I don't know if you heard about this. He said this on the radio show today. Yeah, he said on the news conference, quote, terms like Chiller got to me maybe fall outside of bounds of critique of criticism. They probably fall more toward the area of disrespect and unprofessional. But what do I know? I grew up a Dallas fan, particularly a Hollywood Henderson fan. Boom. We all know what Hollywood Henderson said to your point. So, that is a classic clapback. I don't know if Tomlin, I know he can't win for losing these days, coaching in Pittsburgh as a brother, at that, but that's not a conversation. But for him to admit on a news conference that as a Steelers coach, he grew up a Dallas fan, I don't know how that would fly in Pittsburgh, but hey. As long as we're still winning underneath his brother, under Omar Epps, I'm good. I'm totally good. So, yeah, but, gosh, I mean, I'll tell you this, man, and I'll say this for, like one more time, because Steelers fans are spoiled. We're spoiled. That's coming to say. We're very spoiled. I mean, the thing is, we're so used to winning our division, going to the second round of playoffs every other year. We kind of expect that. Kind of like Patriots fans, except I think Patriots fans are about as annoying, if not annoying, if not more annoying than we are, because they kind of spoiled as well. I mean, you look at all the fan bases, in football, Patriots fans, Steelers fans, Packers fans, but Packers fans are actually cool. But Packers fans, we're spoiled. We're very popular, very huge fan bases, and we're very spoiled because our teams win. Now you have the Cowboys fans coming back out of the woodwork, coming out of the holes that they crawled out of, you know, saying blah, blah, this, blah, blah, that. And by the way, I know this is not a Cowboys podcast. I'm trying to spend a lot of time on the Cowboys, but I'm just hoping and praying that Jerry Jones finds a way to screw it up. I know he will. I just hope he screws it up. But that's not here or there. But what I'm trying to say is, when we, the Steelers fans, we watch our team struggle against the likes of Jacksonville and Tennessee. Every time we play them, for some reason, we can't shake those cats. We struggle against Baltimore when we used to own Baltimore. That's the stuff that rankles us. Again, we're spoiled. We're very, very, very spoiled. That's just how we roll. I'm sorry. And we struggle against the Dolphins kind of time. We're just spoiled. And we know we can't beat New England, but we're just spoiled. Okay?
Yeah.
We're just spoiled like that.
Well,
but basically, I guess the moral of the story is, and I'll let you finish here, is that don't talk smack if you don't have anything to back it up. So I say to George Call, Terry Bradshaw, I respect y'all, but you guys need to take several seats.
Oh, my thing is this. In this age of this past election, you should have an understanding now that everyone is going to fact check everything that you say.
Yeah.
Regardless of how big or how huge or how mundane it is, they're going to fact check what you say. And if you're going to reach you're going to get caught and you're going to get lambasted in the process. So, George Call. Terry Bradshaw, you go ahead and have your stuff prepped before you open your mouth, bro, or before you decide you want to go ahead and write something down, because you will get caught.
Right.
It's not that difficult now to find information.
Right.
Thank you, God.
Call
and thank you, Al Gore, for the internet. You know what I'm saying? It exists. You know, regardless if all that information is actually factual or not, you know, but we'll find a way to find the right stuff. We'll find a way. But to your point in terms of fan bases and being spoiled, I just want to touch on this for a quick moment real quick. And no, Cowboy fans, I'm not going to sit here and talk about the Cowboys The thing is with the Patriots that bothered me a little bit, I understand that they've been one of the more dominant teams for the past 20 years. I get it.
Yeah.
It's just the fact that this is still new success. In my eyes, you know, yeah, 20 years is a long time. I get it. But they're not an NFL blue blood. They're not the Steelers.
Right.
They're not the Packers. They're not Chicago. I mean, Chicago ain't Chicago no more either. But they're still a football blue blood in essence. You know, if you think about it, they haven't done anything.
And the Raiders.
And the Raiders. You know, the Bears and the Raiders haven't done anything in well over 30 years. But they're technically still football blue bloods, even though they're getting old. And hopefully something happens, you know, because when they do well, when NFL blue bloods do well, the league does well. And I guess you kind of consider Dallas a football blue blood because during the decade of the 70s, you know, they had a fantastic decade. I hate them as much as I do, but my God, for them to be 10 years old in the 70s and do what they did within that 10-year span was remarkable. But God knows, when the team disappears, the fan base does too. And when they come out, my God, it's like roaches when you turn the lights on. They are everywhere. And being here in D.C. is only worse. But like I just said, I wasn't going to talk about them, so I digress.
Okay. You know what? On that note, we'll wrap it up because I don't want any more Cowboys crap and boring this podcast. But, again. Well, okay, I won't start. I was going to say something else, but I won't start. But anyway, thank you, brother. Good luck.
No problem, bro. No problem.
Y'all win, you're in, right? Well, we have to win, and I think you should be in.
It's a win and an avoidance of a tie from Green Bay and Denver. But how many times in a season can you have, right?
Right. Right. So anyway, hey, man, take care of yourself, okay? Have a good weekend and keep it light.
You do the same, bro. Merry New Year to everybody.
You too. And Happy New Year to you, bro. Peace out. My man, Dwayne Nash. Please check him out on Sleazy Radio, Blog Talk Radio, every Tuesday afternoon, every Tuesday evening, as well as the Yard/HBCU Sports blog with all the HBCU news, basketball, football, whichever sport you think of, he's got it. Anyway, thank y'all for tuning in. This is the Clown Owl, Scott Burke, signing off, 06. Have a good weekend, and Happy New Year! Bye.